Father Francis, Deacon Mike, my brothers and sisters, this really is a great and joyful day for this parish community and for all of us, for the whole church, because these young men and women who have just been presented to us and for whom we've applauded are really just on the verge of entering fully, completely, totally into their Christian Catholic vocation. A vocation that began on the day of their baptism, of course, and gets completed, at least the initiation into that vocation that gets completed today on the day of their confirmation. And so it's really a joyful, happy day for everyone involved, their family members, fellow parishioners, and all of us in the body of Christ. We have just heard these readings. These are the readings for the 32nd Sunday in Ordinary Time. It's the readings that are being proclaimed in all of our parishes throughout the world. And we hear a lot about God's generosity and how we try to respond to that. We heard in the first reading from the first book of Kings about a poor widow who was obviously living in a land that had been undergoing a great drought. There was no food anywhere to be found. But Elijah, the prophet, who was passing through, encountered this woman. And even though he knew she was quite poor and destitute, he asked her for a cup of water. So she went off, no questions asked, to go get it for him. And as she was going, he said, by the way, bring me some cake too. And she said, well, you know, I have nothing. Next to nothing. I'm just about to prepare my last meal, and then we're going to die because there's nothing more. And he said, okay, but just go ahead and make sure you bring me what I asked for first. Doesn't that sound a little rude almost? It's hard to hear, you know? And yet, the point was, trust in the Lord. Because as he promised her, that jar of flour would never go empty, and that jug of oil would never run dry, because she had responded with such love to his need, this prophet of God. We heard about another widow in the gospel today. And St. Mark tells us something very interesting, that Jesus seated himself near the treasury so he could watch people putting their donations in. It's kind of an odd observation on the part of St. Mark to point out that that's what Jesus was doing. But he was observing that people were giving lots of money, but this poor widow, who really, again, had nothing, gave just about everything she had. Again, his observation was she gave more than all of those other wealthy people that were giving from their surplus. She was giving out of her very need. Once again, God's generosity is never outdone. That jar of flour, so to speak, symbolically, never runs out. The jug of oil never runs dry. And so, as we hear these readings today, on this day when these young men and women are about to be confirmed, we say how important it is that we understand about that relationship that we each have with the Lord. And these, to be confirmed, you've been thinking about that relationship now for a long time, because, as I mentioned at the beginning of the homily, since the day of your baptism, you've entered into a relationship with Jesus and the church. But your parents and your godparents were the ones that brought you and made promises for you And since that day have been seeing to the fact that you were faithful to those promises, sometimes against your will. You say, I don't want to go to church. Well, you're going. So I hope that you're at a different point in your life now. I assume you are. You wouldn't be here to be confirmed. So if you think about that difference in your life from the day that you were baptized until today, there's a lot that has gone on in your life. You look very different than you did the day you were baptized, even though one of you here, I think, was baptized a little later in your life. So, but you probably look different than you did then. So, and you're thinking differently. You're able to do things differently. You have the ability to make different choices and conclusions. The day that you were baptized, or when you were a baby, or really, really young, you did pretty much what you were told, right? And now you've gotten to a time in your life when you're beginning to say, I wonder about this, and I wonder about that, and I think it should be this way and not that way. So I think that same thing happens in your spiritual life as well. From the time that you were baptized and when you started to get old enough to come to church and to know your prayers, your parents were primarily teaching you who God is, that God loves you, that we are supposed to choose the good and avoid what's wrong, what's sinful, to try to come to an understanding of what that all means. And you believed your parents, and you believed your religion teachers and your priests because you trust them. And so you believe certain things. But over the course of your life since then and up until now, you're beginning, I'm sure, to wonder about certain things and have questions. So from your moment of being a believer in God, I hope you're at a different point in your life now than just being a believer. I hope you've made a transition to being a disciple of the Lord. Now, what does a disciple mean? Who can tell me? Have you ever heard that word before, disciple? So would anybody, any of you, to be confirmed, could you tell me what a disciple is? Do you know any synonyms for being a disciple? Okay, so a synonym for disciple is follower. Okay, and in this case, we're talking about following Jesus. Okay, so are you on social media by chance? Anybody on social media? Do you have any followers? Do you follow anybody else? It's a little different, though, isn't it, what we're talking about here? But it's a similar kind of a thing, because somebody says something or does something, you say, I like that. I'm going to follow them. But actually, when Jesus was teaching the gospel, and he was actually walking the earth, there were those that were so taken with what he had to say that they did. They gave up certain things. They left their homes, they left their jobs, and followed him. Literally, followed him from place to place. Because in a way, they couldn't get enough of what he was saying, of the amazing things he was doing. And so they became not just believers in him, but they chose to follow him. What he was saying not just made sense to their heads, but was touching their hearts. So I think that's a big difference, don't you think, between just being a believer and where you are today. I hope you're all disciples and followers of Jesus. So today, over the course of this time of preparation, you've been doing a lot of thinking. You didn't just come to class and were taught all of the dogmas or teachings about what confirmation means. You were doing some other things too. Many of you went on retreats, right? Retreats. What was the one retreat that you went on that you many of you went on that you really liked? The Presence. Some of you went and did some amazing works of charity and mercy for other people. What was that called? Catholic Heart Work Camp. And you went and you did things. All of you thought about saints, right? And I think most of you have chosen a name of a saint, somebody that you can relate to. Why do you think it's important to think about saints as part of your preparation for confirmation? Somebody to look up to. What is a saint? How would you define a saint? Many of the saints were martyred. A lot of them gave up things for what they believed in. That's true. And they were followers of Jesus. Were they just like you? Yes. I think that's the amazing thing about saints. Sometimes we think about saints, especially the big well-known ones that did amazing things, as though they were like from another world. Or they lived in a different plane of reality. But the truth is, all the saints are people that are just like you and me. They had to grow up. They had to go through classes. They had to come to learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus. They had to make choices in their life. So I think it's wonderful that you spend time thinking about the saints. Because really, whatever you choose to do in your life, and none of you are there yet, you're still learning and growing and thinking about what you might want to do in your life. But no matter what that is, the most important thing that God wants you to do in your life is to become a saint. To live a life of holiness. Now, you know, if you do that in amazing, earth-shaking ways, great. If you do that in just normal, ordinary ways, wonderful. The point is to live a life of holiness. And how do you do that? By following Jesus. Now, how many of you think that's an easy thing to do? Oh, I can do that. Nobody? You're right. It's not easy. It's just not easy. Because Jesus asks us to live and make choices that are consistent with what God wants us to do. And there are a whole lot of other people in our life, a lot of other pressures, a lot of other influences, a lot of other voices that say, well, nah, forget that. Come this way, live this way, be a follower of mine, because then you'll have an exciting life. And you'll find lots of fun, and things will be easy. So you have one group that might be calling you this way, but you have Jesus that stands here and says, well, I promise you, you follow me, you find the way to eternal life. Not easy, because what Jesus asks us to do means that we have to give up certain things that you might think would make you happy, but really in the long run you're not going to. So, being a believer, you started out. You're a disciple, I hope and pray now, of Jesus. And the purpose of that is so that you can be a good witness to your faith. The reason that it's not easy, we already talked about. But what confirmation does is gives you the wherewithal, the help, to be able to do it the way God wants you to do. And what is that help that you get today through confirmation that makes this doable, the gift of the Holy Spirit? Because when you come up to be confirmed, I'm going to confirm you and say, be sealed with the gift. Oh, sorry. Be sealed. You already did that. Be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Right? So it's the Holy Spirit who is the gift. And the Holy Spirit brings you many gifts to help you to do that. What do we call those gifts that the Holy Spirit brings you? This is the trick question I told you I'd probably ask. What do we call those gifts? The gifts of the Holy Spirit. You knew that. So, how many of them are there? Seven. Who can give me first the first one? Knowledge? Wisdom? Counsel? Fortitude? Fear of the Lord? Piety? Understanding? Boy, very good. Got all seven. So, and those gifts are there for you to use. The very definition of a gift is that it's there for you to use. It's not forced upon you. You're not now programmed that you have to use them. It's up to you. Just like calling on the Holy Spirit is up to you. Confirmation helps you to become that temple of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will dwell within you. And when you know that you have a need, that's who you call on. But he's not going to control your life. And he's not going to force this gift upon you. So that's why it's important that you ask God to help you in those moments when you have to make little decisions and big decisions. And the people in your life who love you and care about you are also there to help you. Like the person sitting beside you, the person you've asked here to be your sponsor, they are a very special person to you because you've asked them to be here. They also represent the rest of the church, who's also here to support you and to encourage you. So, you're already a believer. You've become a disciple. We want you to be a strong witness to the faith so that you can help to proclaim the gospel, so that you can help to evangelize others. Because if people see how you're living your life and you're a joyful, happy, fulfilled, normal person, there are some people that are going to say, I want to be like them. That's what it means to share the gospel. So we are really happy that you're at this point in your life. We rejoice with you today. And we're going to ask all of us to promise to keep praying for you, but that you promise that you'll continue to avail yourselves of the great graces and strengths of being a part of the church. So I'm going to ask the candidates to be confirmed. Now, if you would renew your baptismal promises, because you have to make them now for yourself. And the rest of us, I'm going to ask you also to renew your baptismal promises, but would the candidates alone please stand? So I invite all of you to participate, but directly to those to be confirmed, I ask you all, do you renounce Satan and all his works and empty promises? I do. Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered death and was buried, rose again from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of the Father? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who today, through the sacrament of confirmation, is given to you in a special way, just as he was given to the apostles on the day of Pentecost? I do. Do you believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? This is our faith. This is the faith of the Church. We are proud to profess it in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Father Francis, if you would come and join me, would the candidates please kneel? And Father Francis and I will pray over these young men and women, praying for the coming of the Holy Spirit into their lives. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who brought these your servants to new birth by water and the Holy Spirit, freeing them from sin, send upon them, O Lord, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. Give them the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and fortitude, the spirit of knowledge and piety. Fill them with the spirit of the fear of the Lord, through Christ our Lord. Amen.